It's now time for our monthly segment with Sauce Magazine. And this time on Soundbites, the ones to watch in 2014. Mandy Kowalski is a bartender at Planner's House and is on this year's list. Bradley Hoffman is Planner's House's executive chef, and he was on the ones to watch list last year. We welcome you both here. Hi.
Thank you. Hello.
Thanks for having us.
And Julie Cohen is the managing editor for Sauce Magazine. Julie, Planner's House seems to be ground zero for this list for some reason.
It does. It just seems like at one point, right when Planner's opened, they had four of our ones to watch all in one place from 2014, 2013, two other guys from former years. So it just seems like a perfect storm of a bunch of ambition. People really excited about this new establishment.
Something in the water there?
Must be.
Or in the whiskey.
Or the whiskey or whatever it might be. Well, Julie, before we begin, could you give us a little overview on this whole Ones to Watch list? You've been doing it for a few years now. What's the idea behind it?
Ones to Watch is one of our favorite features. It's an annual feature where we choose usually between, you know, 5 and 8 promising people in the food and drink industry who we see is just about to explode. You know, they're not an executive chef. They're not the head brewer. But they have so much talent. We see that they're really moving and they're really going to do something exciting.
Well, Bradley Hoffman, since you were on the list last year, how about a brief bio? How did you get started in the business? Where have you worked before?
I came up in the culinary scene. My first job was at the Scottish Arms working for Carl Hazel. Fortunately, throughout, I guess from the beginning on, it's been working for really, really talented people. That's landed me where I am. So Carl Hazel at the Scottish Arms and then moving up into SALT and working under Josh Rowland, that's really kind of launched me in.
And did you have that goal in mind when you started? Did you want to be an executive chef somewhere? Did it just sort of happen or what?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everybody that does this for a living, that's their dream to finally get there. I think I somehow fast-tracked that. Again, that's attributed to the brilliant people I worked under.
Mm-hmm. Mandy Kowalski, what about you?
I fell into bartending quite by accident. I had quite a few jobs before working at Sanctuaria, but I think that's really where I learned the most and grew the most as far as cocktails go. I worked under Matt Sider at the time, and I was working with quite a few talented gentlemen that I learned from. And so I was just kind of like a sponge in that environment. I was in school simultaneously, and the end goal was to go to grad school for sociology. And upon graduation, I didn't end up applying to grad school because I kind of fell in love with the food and drink culture in St. Louis.
Now, I can see how being a bartender and a psychologist would work.
It is. Bartending is part psychology and part culinary art, especially when you're cocktail bartending. So, yeah, I guess it is easy to see why I kind of fell in love with that. And when I heard about Planner's House opening, the possibility of working with everyone in line there was definitely a goal. And yeah, I've learned so much just being there a month.
Oh, you've just been there a month. Wow.
We've been open just a little bit over a month.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, Julie, from your point of view, why did these two? Maybe you can give me specific reasons why you think these two made your list.
Well, we go about figuring out our list a couple of different ways. One thing is just everyone on staff. We keep our eyes open all year, so it could be someone who impressed us when we ate somewhere, someone who was a chef de cuisine, but the executive chef let that person put on their own dinner all by themselves, and it was amazing. Word of mouth, talking to big people in the industry. So for Bradley, I actually was writing a feature on using tongue and cheek in different dishes. And I believe at the time, Bradley was the chef de cuisine, but he was the one who spoke with me, and he was so well-spoken. He knew his menu so well. I said, guys, we need to keep our eye on him. We ended up picking him, and even while I was working on his Ones to Watch profile, he became executive chef. Mm. So, I mean, he was just evolving so fast, we had to go to the printer and change his title because he had moved that quickly. Mandy, we had an eye on her all year. She's worked at several bars. She impressed us with helping do treehouses menu opened several months ago, and we were blown away by, you know, she was using roots in different cocktails, which is a big theme, right? A big trend right now. Again, she was in some cocktail competitions nationally and did quite well. So that was one reason where our eye was on Mandy.
Well, Bradley, I have to ask you, and I'm dying to know the answer to this. What is the role of fashion in being an executive chef?
Not much anymore.
But
you know, it's they're associated in the whole trending thing.
Well, I have to tell people why I said that. Because in your bio, it talks about that you and I think you and Mandy worked at a clothing place together. So
we did.
We did indeed.
That's where we met.
So are you well-dressed under the white chef suit usually? Or?
He doesn't wear the white. He wears green, red.
Oh, really?
Black occasionally.
I didn't know that was allowed.
Well.
Brad's setting new standards in the kitchen.
Yeah, I guess that's where the trends are, the color of my chef coats.
Let me ask you a more serious question then. So you're the executive chef. And, of course, Mandy's on the bar end of it. And in a place like Planner's House, right, you're coordinating drinks and food, right, because at some point they meet.
Yeah.
So is that something you're both thinking about? I can see how Mandy, being the bartender, would be thinking about pairing drinks with food. But what about you, Bradley, when you're thinking of dishes and things? Do you think ahead to the liquid part of it?
Well, the bar side of the restaurant has always obviously been very interesting to me. I actually bartended for a hot second. But there's a lot of carryover from the bar into the food. I'm pickling vegetables with liquor, and that's part of the deal. Usually my terrines have some sort of booze in them. I like the crossover a lot. So for me, it's not just pairing the cocktails with the food, but also using the actual spirits in it as well.
Hmm. Mandy, what about you? I understand that like any good bartender, like if someone just walks into the bar, you can make them something they like, right?
Yeah, that's the end goal.
That's where your psychology comes into it. So do it on me. Like if I just walk in and say, I'm not sure what I want. How are you going to find out what I'm going to like?
First question that's usually posed is, what do you usually drink? And it depends on what the person's in the mood for. Sometimes, like myself, I'm in the mood for a really boozy, stirred Manhattan. Other times, I just want something crisp and light and refreshing. So it really depends on where the person is at that point during the day and if they're going to be eating as well with what they're drinking. I usually do ask that. Because most of our food, well, all of it, complements what they're going to be eating.
Well, what I find interesting about the scene these days, back when I was younger, but like before you had a meal, what everybody wanted was like a dry beef eater martini, something very subtle. That's not so true these days, right?
Not so much. I think it really depends on the person. Sometimes you do want something that's just going to kind of refresh and like open up the palate. And other times, people want to start with a beer. You never really know.
That's Mandy Kowalski. And we're also talking to Bradley Hoffman. They are both with Planner's House. And also here from Sauce Magazine is Julie Cohen. So what do you guys, since you're, you know, up close and personal in the business, we want to talk about new trends or things in food or drink. Anything pop in mind, anything that you're interested in this year that you see coming or thinking about?
Right now, I'm still playing with these. You know, Planner's House is specifically a classic-driven place. I'm playing with these ideas and incorporating the booze into, you know, those traditional bar food, basically.
I see the theme. You keep putting booze in food.
Yeah.
Right now, we're doing an Aperol washed Manchego, the meat and cheese plate. And like you said before, every single terrine has some sort of booze incorporated into the mix, and that really carries over into the drinks. As far as drinks go, I'm definitely seeing lower content of alcohol in drinks, a lot of wine cocktails.
People are more conscious about, for health reasons and all sorts of reasons, about how much liquor they consume these days.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think people are finally starting to you know, as opposed to just ordering a vodka, something almost tasteless when they're going out, they're actually wanting to taste and savor what they're drinking along with what they're eating. So you find that people are kind of eager to try a wine-based cocktail or experiment with different liquors or liqueurs, rather, that are now new to the U.S. market.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's becoming the total experience instead of I want to go out here for cocktails and I want to go here for food. Now it's I want to sit down and have it all in one place, spend 2 hours here and really just experience everything, all sides
have
of
an it. Experience, savor all different flavors from your liquids to your edibles.
Julie, what do you see as far as trends and things in 2014?
I'm predicting to see more ferments and cultures. I've been noticing a lot of kombucha starting to pop up.
Okay, what is that?
it's you want to elaborate?
You're good.
Okay, well, it's a fermented root that's part of – it's hard to explain. I feel like I can't even elaborate properly. But we are seeing it. There's a bar on Cherokee that's going to be doing house-made kombucha on tap.
I mean, is it a flavor? Is that an alcoholic thing? Or?
No, it's not alcoholic. It's almost like a tea.
It is tea-based. Yeah. And so you actually take a live organism, usually referred to as the mother. Depending on how long you let this organism sit into the tea as it's fermenting, they will grow. They will kind of reproduce other mothers where you can take those and then make other batches. You usually want to start with a black tea or a green tea, a very simple tea. And what it does is the organism kind of feeds off of the sugar that you put into the batch and then ferments that batch. And then you can, you know, then take from that to create other batches. And it's kind of long been known for its health properties. And I think it's really interesting. You've seen on, like, the East Coast and the West Coast, they're using those in cocktails quite
here.
A bit. And now it's finally coming to the Midwest. It's not just a health beverage. It's something – it has quite a bit of acidity to it. Kind of akin to vinegar-based cocktails or vinegar-based drinks or mocktails. It's a great route to go when someone wants a mocktail to impart a really unique flavor.
Anything else on your radar?
Yeah, well, along with the kombucha, we also have seen fermented pineapple called tapache in some cocktails, which is a Mission Taco joint. We're seeing Local Harvest is debuting their culture menu today, actually, with some house-made kefir, kimchi, sauerkrauts. We're also seeing a trend that's almost like a trend in a trend, this fear of missing out. We call it FOMO. It's this idea that, like with the cronut phase, with the ramen burger phase we're seeing on the East Coast and West Coast, where people are lining up out the door afraid that they're going to miss it. So it's almost like that's the trend in itself. You go right now. Go. You have to do it today. Same with pop-up restaurants.
Right. We're talking about the ones to watch in the latest edition of Sauce Magazine. I wanted to mention some of the other people just really briefly, if we could. Jimmy Hipshin, is it?
Yes.
And he says his favorite after-hours meal is a fried chicken omelet. That's interesting to read about. Martin Toft, chocolate milk stout. That's a beer that he developed?
Yes. It was his first beer he tried to brew, and it's been a smash success for Four Hands.
Your profile on Alex Lakin has an interesting story about a late night room service experience that I won't go into right here. That's worth reading about, though. Josh Paletti says everybody's a VIP. That's a pretty good attitude to have. Do you guys feel that way too? All customers?
Definitely. That's what Planner's House is based off of. Yeah.
And then there's Charles, or I should say Josh Charles and John Fawes, and every day for them is a meeting of inquiring minds.
Yes.
So these are some of the ones to watch, and you can find out in the latest edition of Sauce Magazine, which is on the newsstands now. And just a few seconds before we go, Mandy, I wanted to ask you about something that you're working with, Libation Laboratory.
Libation Laboratory, yes. A friend of mine and also a bartender in our own right, Beth Sorrell, we are working on Libation Laboratory STL. It's still in the conceptualization phase, but there are some exciting things coming up.
We'll keep our eye on that. That's Mandy Kowalski. Mm-hmm. She's a bartender at Planner's House. Bradley Hoffman is the executive chef there. Great meeting both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And Julie Cohen is the managing editor for Sauce Magazine.
Thanks, Steve.
And we'll do this again next month. Thank you. Coming up next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk with the St. Louis Symphony president and CEO, Fred Bronstein, about the Symphony's 2014-2015 season, which will be announced at a town hall meeting Thursday evening. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer with assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, and Jeremy Bailey. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. And today we say goodbye to Mission Continues fellow Jeremy Bailey, and we thank him for his many contributions. He's been fun to work with, and we wish him the best. I'm waving at him through the window right now. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening.